right, Wednesday night, and we are live. Hope everybody's doing good. As always, be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Here debunking the latest hoax, the John Kelly hoax, the former chief of staff for President Trump hoax, who Donald Trump fired for all intents and purposes. So we're going to debunk that tonight when we launch. But let me say to everybody in the chat real quick, Hark Marvy's at the bottom, Joe Heathen, D9597, Alpha Acres is on, Sunwoo 45, Tim L. T-Bird, Ukrainian Dave, Mobita01 is on, Hassle Free TV, Mike Griffith, Dave Souders, Buckeye Nut 1968, La Picket Fence, Judy Anita, Richard Perry 49, Lisa Kinzer 11960 is on, Aphrodites is on, Hanslick Donovan is on, Veronica 18201 is on, Alpha Acres is on. Let me see anybody. Oh, Salty Gonads is on. Leon Fish Puppy is on. Luann 5 is on. Lizzie 859 is on. Rafa 9821 is on. Stefa Toms is on. Gloyd Shaw is on. Conservative Waffle is on. Snoddod 311 is on. Snarl Barkley is on. Granite 2468 is on. Jack and Daisy are on. Adino Ensknight is on. Just Fact is on. Patriot of the North 156 is on. Jana Jones is on. Big Scott is on. Tim L. T-Bird is on. Jeannie Malfeasy is on. Silent is on. Texas Billy is on. Love you guys. Appreciate each and every one of you. Let's hop right to this now. Now, here's the thing. Let me read you this. For those of you that don't know, you basically have had to have lived under a rock to not have seen this today. Or maybe you actually have a life and you're not on social media. Or you're not on X or I want to actually honor Elon Musk by calling Twitter X from now on, but I may not remember. But anyway, unless you've been on X or social media, you may not have seen this, but it'll be hard to avoid it today. There's an article that came out from Jeffrey Goldberg from The Atlantic. Now, The Atlantic, just so everybody knows, is nothing but it is the actual newspaper for the globalist left. That is all The Atlantic is. There's lots of nefarious figures on the board of The Atlantic. Many retired CIA officials and directors of the CIA are on the board of The Atlantic. And you're like, is it a, it's actually a media publication? If you want to call it media. Well, I mean, if you, like CBS, NBC, MSNBC, CNN, Washington Post, New York Times, they're not media. They're not, there's no journalism going on there. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir on this. But just so that you understand what I say, that it's a media outlet for the globalist left. In other words, it's Goebbels. In other words, it's simply Tokyo Rose. It's just saying whatever it is a specific outfit wants it to say and camouflaging it as news, saying and lying that it's news. It's not news. And Jeffrey Goldberg is nothing but a political whore, a political prostitute, for the globalist left, the people that want to leverage you into a one-world commerce system with a singular access point controlled by them. In other words, those who want to usher in Revelation 13, 16 through 18. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their forehead, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. Those are the people that The Atlantic represent. They will, if I wrote an article, if anybody wrote an article, if any conservative pundit wrote an article, it would not be allowed in The Atlantic. The Atlantic is only for the globalist leftist bourgeois elitist, the Washington insiders, the Washington swampsters, the establishment Republicans, the establishment Democrats. And establishment Republicans and establishment Democrats are two heads of the exact same disgusting snake, ushering forward the exact same agenda. The establishment right ushers it forward in a clandestine, nefarious sort of way that those of us on the right at times, I'm talking about, of course, the Romneys of the worlds and the McConnells of the worlds, the McCains of the worlds, the Bushes of the worlds, all of those, they usher forward the exact same agenda as the globalist left, but in a way that is they consider to be more palatable for people like you and I, in a way that we might accept it or we might not resist it as much as if Kamala Harris were to push it out to us. So it's just still in a very deceptive way they push forward the exact same agenda. This is what the Atlantic is all about. Plenty of rhino Republicans are part of the Atlantic. All you have to do is be an establishment, disgusting, swamp, cesspool, Washington, D.C. socialite. And what I mean by that is all those that are part of the establishment and part of in Washington, D.C. All you have to do is be a part of that establishment to be a part of the Atlantic. But that's what the Atlantic is. No different than the New York Times or CNN or MSNBC. But that's what the Atlantic is. But they try to portray themselves as journalists. And one of the biggest whores in this outfit is Jeffrey Goldberg, who will say anything and everything to first make money, second, publicize himself, and second, and then third of all, to usher in the leftist, globalist, bourgeois, elitist narrative and agenda. So he decided he was going to write an article. Strange. Strange that he decided to write this article when we have, what, 13 days to go to an election. He could have written this article because this is about John Kelly. This is about a soldier who was killed in 2020. But of course, you know, I thought this was a journalist. I thought the Atlantic was a newspaper or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And it's not newspapers anymore, but a news site or whatever it is. But they actually still print things out. But anyway, you know, website, whatever. But anyway, why would he decide to do this today with old stories? I'm going to show you exactly how old they are. But here's just a little, some snippets from his article. According to attendees, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute, and to contemporaneous notes of the meeting taken by a participant, an aide answered, yes, we received the bill. The funeral cost $60,000. Now, what the deal is with this is that there was a girl who was killed by another female soldier in 2020 on a base in cooperation with another male soldier. And he was mercilessly murdered. It's kind of a love triangle thing, if I remember it correctly, because I think I actually saw it like on Dateline or something. And this was in 2020. Of course, now we're finding out about this 13 days prior to an election. And Trump met with the family and said, you know what, are all of your needs being met, all your funeral arrangements being met? Do you have any, do you need anything? And Trump said, if the army doesn't take care of it, I will pay for the funeral. Now, you can read this entire article. It's at The Atlantic and Jeffrey Goldberg. It's lengthy because Jeffrey Goldberg will spare no verbiage at all to denigrate Donald Trump. But anyway, so Trump said, you know, I'll pay for the funeral. So that's what, according to attendees, those are people in a staff meeting with Donald Trump and from contemporaneous notes, whatever that means, coming from whatever unknown whistleblower source this is coming from, which, of course, is simply made up in the mind of Jeffrey Goldberg. Notes of the meeting taken by a participant, an aide. So these, are, of course, are unknown sources. These are unknown. They're unknown to us. You know, these are confidential sources, of course, that are being made up out of thin air. Taken by a participant, an aide answered, yes, we received the bill. Trump was asking, did we receive the bill from this funeral? Because the family had said the army was paying for it. The army did pay for it. And then I guess the army either didn't pay for part of it, whatever it may be. And then allegedly Trump became angry, according to Jeffrey Goldberg. It doesn't cost $60,000 to bury a effing Mexican. You honestly think Trump said that in a staff meeting? Again, this is from the exact same source, The Atlantic, that Trump said in the presence of 25 military officials that men and women buried in a military cemetery were suckers and losers. And as Trump has said to other sources, would I honestly say that soldiers are suckers and losers in the midst of 25 or 30 soldiers? It's absolutely nonsensical that Trump would call soldiers suckers and losers while soldiers are sitting right there that could easily kill him or beat him up. Or worse, even report him to the left-stream media. So you honestly think that Trump would say in a meeting full of people who are going to write books about him that it doesn't cost $60,000 to bury an effing Mexican? Really? When he's never said anything like that in his life before and he's 78? And allegedly he turned to his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, and issued an order. Don't pay it. Later that day, he was still agitated. Can you believe it, he said, according to a witness, effing people trying to rip me off. So that's one of that's. I'm debunking both of these hoaxes. I said one hoax, but the latest hoax is, just so everybody knows, this never happened. There are no witnesses to this at all, except for Jeffrey Goldberg's unknown witnesses, for Jeffrey Goldberg's unnamed witnesses, of course. Mark Meadows came out and said it happened as chief of staff? No. Mark Meadows is the one who took the place of John Kelly. Now, here's the other one, the other lovely rumor that's going on, that Trump said that he wanted Hitler's generals. All this comes out in the Atlantic article today, 13 days prior to the election. I guess this is their pathetic attempt at an October surprise. And you know what effect it's having? None. You're like, then Tom, why are you talking about it? Because it's fun. It's fun to debunk their lies and their hoaxes. So here it is. Now, this was a book written by Peter Baker and Susan Glasser with John Kelly. John Kelly, Trump's former chief of staff. One of the biggest mistakes he ever made was hiring this insider, swampster, disgusting cesspool rhino named John Kelly. John Kelly, and people are like, he's a gold star dad. Credit to him on that. Credit to him on his military service. Being in the military does not impugn to you honor for the rest of your life unless you live in an honorable fashion. Just like if you're a cop, for like I was for 25 years, doesn't make me a moral human being unless I live a moral lifestyle. Neither does it make anybody a hero either unless they've actually done heroic acts and they're not actually stealing valor like Tim Walz. Tim Walz is still dropping his military career. And this is so hysterical because his military career has been incredibly stained by his lies about it. But anyway, in this book that John Kelly cooperated with, written by Peter Baker and Susan Glasser, in their book, The Divider was the name of it, Trump in the White House, Peter Baker and Susan Glasser reported that Trump asked John Kelly, his chief of staff at the time, why can't you be like the German generals? Trump, at various points, this is their book, had grown frustrated with military officials he deemed disloyal and disobedient throughout the course of his presidency. Trump referred to flag officers as generals. According to Baker and Glasser, Kelly explained to Trump that German generals tried to kill Hitler three times and almost pulled it off. The correction did not move Trump to reconsider his view. No, no, no. They were totally loyal to him, the president responded. Do you want anybody honestly believe that Trump doesn't know that Rommel and several other generals tried to assassinate Adolf Hitler? I mean, Trump actually has an education that's far better probably than John Kelly's. But John Kelly denigrates him and acts like he didn't know anything or that he's uneducated. This week, I asked Kelly about their exchange. Now we're back to Jeffrey Goldberg. He asked him about their exchange. He told me that when Trump raised the subject of German generals, Kelly responded by asking, do you mean Bismarck's generals? He went on, I mean, I knew he didn't know who Bismarck was or about the Franco-Prussian War. I said, do you mean the Kaiser's generals? Surely you can't mean Hitler's generals. And he said, yeah, Hitler's generals. I explained to him that Rommel had to commit suicide after taking part in a plot against Hitler. Kelly told me, Jeffrey Goldberg, Kelly told me Trump was not acquainted with Rommel. Now, that right there shows you that John Kelly is lying. There's absolutely no way that Donald Trump doesn't know about Rommel in the general German military, German army. Obviously, we all know about Rommel. I know, but Aaron knows. Well, Will knows. We all know about Rommel. Donald Trump knows. So John Kelly is lying. Jeffrey Goldberg goes back to something that happened, just so everybody knows. The original, this was an interpersonal conversation. And by the way, probably governed by some measure of presidential immunity. So John Kelly is now speaking of and revealing possibly classified conversations with the President of the United States. Because his communications with the President of the United States as his chief of staff probably are under immunity laws. So I would love to see, first of all, that investigated. Second of all, if he is violating the law, John Kelly needs to be prosecuted just like everybody else. Because there are certain immunity laws. That's why Steve Bannon is in prison right now, because Steve Bannon said, my communications with the president are covered by presidential immunity laws, so therefore I am not going to speak to your January 6th unselect committee. And that's why they put him in prison. And they never actually challenged, there was never actually a hearing on whether they were covered by presidential immunity laws. So from the November 23, 2023 issue, The Patriot, Baker and Glosser also reported, now this is all part of Jeffrey Goldberg's article, just so everybody knows. Baker and Glosser also reported that Mark Milley, White Rage Milley, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, feared that Trump's Hitler-like embrace of the big lie about the election would prompt the president to seek out a Reichstag moment. So what has Trump ever done that's Hitler-esque? Name it. Name it. I would love to see it. It's just like whenever you corner in these street interviews a leftist, and you'll actually see this in the post game where Charlie Kirk asks a leftist, name something that Trump has done that's racist. Name something that Trump has done that is remotely like Adolf Hitler. Now, I can name a myriad of things done by the Democratic Party that are very much Hitler-related. Look at my shirt. Confiscating guns. Hitler-esque, first thing he did. Proclaiming that a sickness is more deadly than it is. Typhoid. Hitler did it to the Jews. Democratic Party. Banning speech. Democratic Party. Forcing people to take experimental drugs, as Hitler did. Democratic Party. Butchering the unborn to the tune of 40 plus million per year worldwide. Democratic Party and globalist left. Now let's look at here how you know Mark Milley is bold-faced lying. Or Mark Milley, you have a choice. Either Mark Milley is bold-faced lying or he's an idiot. And there is no C, unless if it's all of the above. So Milley says, reported that Mark Milley, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, feared that Trump's Hitler-like embrace of the big lie. Hitler didn't embrace the big lie. Hitler coined the phrase the big lie. In Mein Kampf, read a book. Mark Milley say in his galactically horrible, catastrophic white rage testimony in front of Congress that he reads all kinds of books? Hitler didn't espouse the big lie. Hitler accused the Jews of espousing the big lie, you stupid, fat moron. Same thing with all these. They're always Hitler's big lie. Was there? Hitler didn't have the big lie. He accused the Jews of the big lie. Read a book, you idiots. Why am I screaming? So this is all bold-faced lies, just so everybody knows. And by the way, the original, what happened with him and Kelly was in 2022, over 2 years ago. And now it's being written. By the way, it was written about then in the New York Times. And everybody's acting like this is new. It's not new. It was written about in the New York Times in 2022. Just the same story, regurgitated. And all the uneducated, low-information leftards out there. Ooh, Trump likes Hitler. Oh, Trump's affiliated with Hitler. Now, this all came out in 2022, you stupid idiots. And first of all, I doubt he ever said any of this. But if he did, and you're in the... How many of us have said horrible things in conversations? Interpersonal conversations with somebody that you consider to be a confidant, your chief of staff. And again, I'm just wondering... If this conversation is not under the jurisdiction of presidential immunity laws, as he's speaking to his chief of staff, and this has been revealed, violating presidential immunity. I would like to see that. I would like that investigated. But anyway, how many of us have said horrible things in the midst of confidential conversations? Don't need to reveal what they are. I'm just telling you, all of us have. All of us have said vulgar, wretched, horrible things And how would you like to be held accountable for those things? Now, there's a big difference between what you say in private conversations and how you live your life. He has never, ever operated anywhere close to Adolf Hitler or treated the military with disrespect. The first story there where he allegedly didn't pay for this funeral and said the horrible things about, I won't pay $60,000 to bury an effing Mexican. The family has come out and said, none of it's true. He treated us with nothing but respect. And we all voted for Donald Trump today. That's what the family said. So all of this debunking the next giant, want to talk about big lie, debunking the next big lie hoax, it's already all been debunked. All right, May's video. Disgruntled John Kelly, here's Trump speaking, was the person the Democrats used to push the suckers and losers hoax. Play it for me.
There is nobody that feels more strongly about our soldiers, our wounded warriors, our soldiers that died in war than I do. It's a hoax. Just like the fake dossier was a hoax, just like the Russia was a hoax, it was a total hoax, no collusion, just like so many other things, it's a hoax. And sometimes the sources are just people that are disgruntled former so-called employees.
Well, my question is sort of about that. I mean, the notable voice that's been missing from the denials is your former chief of staff, John Kelly, who was obviously intimately involved in this. How are we supposed to read the fact that John Kelly hasn't?
I know John Kelly. He was with me, didn't do a good job, had no temperament, and ultimately he was petered out. He was exhausted. This man was totally exhausted. He wasn't even able to function in the last number of months. He was not able to function. He was sort of a tough guy. By the time he got eaten up in this world, it's a different world than he was used to, he was unable to function. And I told him, John, you're going to have to go. Please give me a letter of resignation. And we did that. And now he goes out and bad mouths. Now, there are people that are jealous. There are people that are upset that they're not here anymore. There are people that we've done an incredible job. The virus came in, and now we're doing an incredible job again. We're going to build it up bigger than it was before the virus came in. But I don't know that it was him. I haven't seen that. I mean, I see anonymous, but it could have been a guy like a John Kelly. Because he was, just so you understand, he was a very, you look at some of his news conferences, what happened to him, he got eaten alive. He was unable to handle the pressure of this job. This job was a tough job. Mark Meadows doing a great job, but Kelly was unable to do that.
See, John Kelly cannot function in anything that is not a sterile environment. He's one of these guys that as long as he can operate like all these establishment Republicans, where we all stand around and pretend that the FBI is pure and unbiased, that the media is pure and unbiased, that the military is pure and unbiased, that the ATF is pure and unbiased, that the CIA is pure and unbiased, that everybody's waving an American flag and is overtly patriotic. That's how John Kelly, that's the only way that John Kelly can thrive. That's the only way that he can survive. That's the only way that he can operate is under those delusions. And when those delusions are stripped away, he fights for the delusion to be reinstalled. He wants to downgrade or denigrate Donald Trump, because if you do that, then his delusions are actually true. If John Kelly can destroy Donald Trump, then he gets to believe the FBI is pure and the media is pure and the ATF is pure and the military is pure because Donald Trump is wrong and they're all right. As long as he can operate in that delusion, that's why he tried to destroy Donald Trump. When we all know the ATF, the FBI, the military, the CIA are corrupt to the freaking core. The military can't even pass the most rudimentary of audits. They've lost over $1 trillion. They're corrupt. I love the military. I was raised in a military home. My grandfather was a captain in the Navy, retired as a captain. My father retired as a lieutenant commander in the Navy with two Bronze Stars and a Purple Heart from Vietnam. Will is a retired actual soldier in the Marine Corps in war, a war veteran. I love these guys, but the actual military itself, the higher-ups, are corrupt. They're nothing but sycophants for the globalist left. John Kelly can't handle that. So he was having a mental meltdown in the White House to the point where Trump had to tell him, go away. And then Kelly, after Trump tells him to go away, basically fire yourself, Kelly comes up with a suckers and losers story that he reported to The Atlantic, of course. That Donald Trump, in the midst of 20 or 30 people, says that people that are buried in a military cemetery are all suckers and losers. You would say that in front of other soldiers and generals? And 19 witnesses came forward and say Trump never said that, but John Kelly somehow heard it. But then all the other people around, not one person outside of John Kelly. Imagine what a disgusting human being you have to be John Kelly, to make up something. And that actually really bothered Donald Trump. So here's another one for you. Johnny MAGA video. While even Trump-hating disgruntled former employee Mark Esper says he never heard Trump say anything like what John Kelly is outlining. Play it for me.
Were there ever any incidents, Secretary, that you have not previously spoken about in which you heard Donald Trump use similar language or refer to American military personnel in a derogatory fashion?
No, not along the lines that John Kelly and others have outlined.
Mark Esper, now he, of course, was the prior acting Secretary of Defense, is an absolute rhino, hoaxer, fake Republican, establishment, swamp, cesspool sucker. That's who Mark Esper is. And even he isn't backing up what John Kelly said, that Donald Trump said. Even he's not backing it up. And you can't get more loathsome than Mark Esper, except for maybe John Kelly. John Kelly reminds me of Christians. They look the part. Like John Kelly, he looks like the tough guy. He dresses like the tough guy. Kind of keeps himself in shape like the tough guy. Talks like the tough guy. He reminds me of Christians. And they talk the talk. They talk like a Christian. But when it comes down to being obedient, or when it comes down to taking a stand, they can't do it. They've got the Bible fish cover. They go to the right Bible studies. They talk like a Christian. They try to sound sophisticated, and they try to use monotone voices because they actually think that's Christ-like. They try to be not loud or don't use inflammatory verbiage because they think that's Christ-like, even though I guess they've never read the Bible, what Jesus actually called people. Whitewashed tombs full of dead man's bones, sons of hell. They believe speaking in a monotone voice and, you know, I just love everybody and I just want to tell everybody that I love them and I know that you love. They just think that's Christianity. But when it comes down to taking a stand, like keeping your church open during COVID-19, they can't do it. They're pansy boys. That's what John Kelly is. John Kelly's fine as long as he's operating in the fake cesspool of Washington, D.C., where the Republican Party is pure and the Democratic Party is pure. We're all Americans and we're all trying to push things forward in a patriotic way. That's all lies. Mark Kelly's fine operating in those lies, just like the fake Christian or the weak Christian. It's perfectly fine being a Christian until the rubber meets the road, when you've got to be obedient, when you've got to take a stand, when you've got to say what you've got to say, when a relative has fronted you up and you've got to take a stand for Christ. But instead of taking a stand for Christ, you believe that acquiescing is the stand. You believe that collaboration and cooperation and capitulation is the stand. You know that wearing a mask is a lie, but as a Christian, you walk into Thanksgiving dinner and Aunt Susie wants everybody to wear a mask, so you put it on. So you don't want to, because you don't want to rock the boat and cause waves. That's not being a Christian. Jesus caused waves. Jesus rocked the boat. John Kelly plays the part of a tough guy, but he's not a tough guy. He couldn't take the heat inside of the Trump administration. Not coming from Donald Trump, but from people outside the administration attacking the Trump administration. All right, Colin Rugg video. New CNN panelist Ryan Gerdowski, he does a great job here, absolutely rips apart the Atlantic hit piece on Trump, says it doesn't pass the smell test. Play for me, Will.
I have a feeling that there are a number of voters who are hearing so many things about Trump. They're hearing the claims, they're hearing the statements, they're hearing about members of the cabinet saying no can do, no will do again. And then you hear Trump's campaign saying this is false. President Trump never said any of this. I mean, Trump, though, tonight praised authoritarian leaders, China's Xi, Russia's Putin. Listen to this.
Can you imagine what President Xi, you know, I got to know him very well. He's a fierce individual. He runs 1.4 billion people with an iron fist. Am I allowed to say he's smart? He's smart. He's a smart man. He's a fierce man. I got along with him very well. Putin, these are people that are tough people.
I mean, many people have an issue with appraising of any kind of either of these two leaders. Does the fact that he appears to have a strong affinity for those who are authoritarians in the leadership, is that deniable at this point?
Well, in the clip you showed, he didn't praise them. He just called Xi smart, which is the only praise he gave them.
Well, it's not an insult.
It's not, okay, right? but it's not praise either, which is what you said it was, which it wasn't. But according to the Jeffrey Goldberg article, which we've talked about this entire night, you can't trust that article because the quote, 60,000 for an effing Mexican funeral, the only two on-record sources both said that he didn't say that. The only source is an anonymous source, and the family of the deceased soldier said that he was lovely to them, and in fact, they voted for Donald Trump today. That's how much they disagreed, and they said it was a disrespectful article that politicized the death of their loved one. And Jeffrey Goldberg did not care about printing something that they had no sources on the record for. And I, honest to God, like most Americans, do not care about General Kelly's farewell tour where he tries to make amends for working for Donald Trump. Since Democrats said, we're going to run all these Republicans who work for Trump out of town unless they somehow make peace. So 2 weeks before Election Day, he runs to liberal journalist Susan Glasser about a conversation that allegedly happened 4 years ago. It doesn't pass a smell test. And that is why people are turned off to all of these stories. They remember Donald Trump's presidency for low inflation, jobs, peace through strength, controlled borders. That's why they care. No one believes Jeffrey Goldberg and the article from a publication that's owned by one of Harris's donors.
Yeah, The Atlantic is owned by a Harris donor. So again, this is Republicans being judged by Democrats. How would you like to be judged by your neighbor who hates you? I mean, and think about it. If you were in some sort of trial and you had a neighbor, because I have a neighbor who hates me. I'm not fond of him either, but I'll still be loving to him because I have to be. But but I'm just saying, I would not want him deciding my fate. But The Atlantic writing an article, they are a Kamala Harris donor. The owner of The Atlantic has given a large donation to the Harris-Waltz campaign. And that's who's writing an article about Trump? That would be like Hitler writing an article about Jews. Just think about that. It would be like a pedophile writing an article about children. Should never happen. And again, just the sources in the room with the soldier story, the sources that are named that are in the room, there's two of them, came out and said it never happened, but the unknown sources say that it did. See, you're Jeffrey Goldberg. You just make it up out of thin air. Sources told me. What sources, Jeffrey? Unknown sources. Unnamed sources. But the named sources contradict what your unnamed sources say. So you know who gets validity? The named sources. It's all, I mean, honestly, anybody in the family said it didn't happen. The name sources didn't happen. The family says, we don't appreciate this article by Jeffrey Goldberg. It's disrespecting our fallen loved one, our murdered loved one. It's disrespecting her. And by the way, we all voted for Trump today. So pound that sand. And remember the John Kelly story of Trump wants German generals. 2 years ago was already, actually skip this one real quick, Aaron, and go to the next, right there, so I can make this point, and then we're going to go to the next one. This was the article. Notice the date on the bottom. Everybody see it? August 8, 2022. This is already covered. Why is it coming out now? It's already covered. This was already covered by the New York Times, The New Yorker. It's already covered. Why are we doing it again? Because it's 13 days before a campaign. Imagine being somebody so devoid of human dignity and self-respect, just being such a disingenuous person with absolutely no integrity, like Jeffrey Goldberg, that you're going to treat this like a news story. And you're going to think of yourself as a journalist when you are nothing more than a stenographer for disgusting leftards. That's all that you are. And you somehow think of yourself, I'm going to steal this from Bongino, but I love it when he says it. Whenever he says it, I laugh. I just wonder, does Jeffrey Goldberg's parents claim him at all? Does Jeffrey Goldberg's parents go around saying, you know what, we don't have a son? Or does his kids go around saying, we don't have a dad? Tom, you're being mean. I'm telling you, he's a disgusting human being. He deserves exactly what I'm saying. This is already covered. And nobody can prove it. There's no other sources that will verify it. Even Esper says Trump didn't talk like that. And Esper hates Trump. He was fired by Trump. But Esper knows that Trump's going to win the presidency. So he's not stupid enough to make absolutely nonsensical, disingenuous, dishonest statements right now, because he knows Trump's going to be in office come January 20th of 2025. Aaron, put your next one up. Colin Rugg. There you go. This just popped. This just popped on Twitter, on X. They're doing it again. Here's all the October surprises. So pathetic. So pathetic. So pathetic. They ain't going to, everyone's afraid they're going to start a nuclear war. They're not going to start a nuclear war to make that be their October surprise. I know other people advocate for that. I mean, not advocate for it, not that they want it, but they advocate that it could happen. It's not going to happen. They're not going to kill themselves, folks. That's why they're not going to release a virus that's 50% deadly. They're not going to do that. I'm not saying one could never escape a lab. I'm saying they're not going to do it because they're not going to kill themselves. They're going to use a virus that has a 0.1% death rate to fool people into their totalitarian mandates and measures and just pure absolute authoritarianism. So here's the next one for you. These pathetic attempts, because there's nothing else. There's nowhere to get Trump right now. He hasn't been president for 4 years. And we're already over the 34 felony counts. And his civil offense, the real estate offense, is already slowly but surely being overturned in the appellate court of New York by all leftist judges, by the way. So that Donald Trump's going to get his $500 million back. Just in, former model Stacey Williams suddenly claims 13 days before an election, not even 13 days, 12 days and 3 hours from the election. Suddenly, Stacey Williams claims Donald Trump groped her 31 years ago. 3 decades and a year ago, Donald Trump groped her. And suddenly, she's held that as a secret for 31 freaking years. In a new hit piece by, of course, leftist Guardian. You see, that's the whole thing. And I don't want to go too far down this wormhole, but I just got to say it. All that they want to do is paint a picture and label you with something. It's what they do. So they create their own judiciary. Really, that's what they do. Chania Shutkin is not a judge. She's a political activist working as a judge inside of Washington, D.C. Angeron is the exact same thing in NYC. Mershon is the same thing in NYC. They're just activists, political judges that are used to label leftist political opponents something. Rapist, convicted felon, real estate fraudster. If they bring you in front, and again, I don't want to go too far down this wormhole, but I just want to say, if they bring you in front of a blue judge, blue jury, blue appellate court, blue grand jury, are you going to win? No. That's why every single one of these cases, whether it's Bannon, Navarro, Stone, Trump, who am I leaving out? Giuliani, you know, the very people who say that Trump's going to weaponize the DOJ. The only DOJ that's ever been weaponized is the current one, and that administration is accusing the future Trump administration of doing what it's currently doing, or that it could do what it's currently doing. So anyway, former model Stacey Williams claims that Donald Trump groped her 31 years ago. In a new hit piece by The Guardian, which is now, of course, you got to have the blue judges, blue juries, blue grand juries, and judicial system to put labels on your political opponents if you're a leftist. You also have to have a media that will put labels on your political opponent for you. You can have a judiciary system to put labels on your political opponent, or you can have false, faux, fraudulent Goebbels, Pravda, Mockingbird Media do the exact same thing, put a label on something, conspiracy theory, hoax, whatever it may be, false accusations, false assertions. Well, who said that it was a false assertion? The media said it. Who called me a real estate huckster? The blue judge Angeron, who's a political activist. or Judge Mershon, whose daughter made $10 million off the trial itself. That's all that they do, is they set up institutions, the left sets up institutions to label their political opponents something. That's all The Guardian does. The hit piece from The Guardian, Williams claims she met Donald Trump through Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, here we go. So I'm just reading this now. Aaron just sent this to me. Through Jeffrey Epstein. Oh, what a shock. What a shock. Now, let's see. Have they found any Republicans on Epstein Islands? And why? Who won't release the Epstein flight log? Aaron, do you know?
Democrats.
Yeah, Tricky Dicky Durbin.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tricky little Dicky Durbin. He will not release the Epstein flight log. Why is that exactly? I thought for sure you'd remember with Little.
Yeah.
She says she went to Trump Tower in 1993 where Epstein... With Epstein, where Trump allegedly grabbed her butt and breasts. Williams claims she thought she saw the two men smiling at each other during the incident. Oh, she thought she saw 31 years ago. These accusations, convenient. I mean, very, very convenient. Just like E. Jean Carroll suddenly remembers that Trump raped her in a dressing room in a department store. I think this was like 40 years ago. Right? With no witnesses, no cameras, no DNA, but they can now label Trump a rapist because they set up, the left sets up institutions to label right-wingers, and they think that everyone believes that those labels are valid. We no longer do. Convicted felon means nothing to us anymore. Rapist means nothing to us anymore when we know that it came from one of these institutions. It means nothing. Convicted felon means nothing. Real estate fraud means nothing to us anymore because it's coming from leftist institutions set up to label us. These accusations made by former activists for Barack Obama. Weird. I thought for sure she was going to be a right winger. And announced on a Harris campaign call 2 weeks before the election. Harris campaign call are unequivocally false, said Trump campaign press secretary Carolyn Leavitt. Now, here's the thing. It's obvious this fake story was contrived by the Harris campaign. Now, what do you do with this? Christine Blasey Ford should be sued into oblivion for defamation. If Rudy Giuliani, and he just had to surrender his Mercedes, like his apartment, various other valuables to Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman because of his $148 million defamation settlement against him. He's worth $10 million, and he got a $148 million settlement against him in a defamation lawsuit. And he just had to surrender all of his goods to them today. We have to do the exact same thing. And remember, Rudy Giuliani, he asserted that Shea Moss and Ruby Freeman, all he said was, they fed the same ballots into the same machine over and over again, which they did, and it's on video, but that video was not allowed to be shown as defamation trial. And the same thing happened with Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon was not allowed to present exculpatory evidence at his trial, nor was Navarro. Weird, isn't it? The other, Mike Flynn's another one they railroaded in a D.C. court, of course. Again, setting up their institutions, whether it's media or judicial, to put labels on us, right? So Carolyn, I'm not Carolyn Leavitt, Stacey Williams needs to be sued into financial obscurity. So does Christine Blasey Ford, E. Jean Carroll, numerous others who have defamed Donald Trump. He's got the billions to do it. Sue them into financial oblivion. As Clarence Thomas should have done to Anita Hill, as Brett Kavanaugh should have done to Christine Blasey Ford with their nefarious accusations that nobody can prove, nobody witnessed, and there are no dates and times. That is the very essence of defamation, right? So they need to do it. All right, let's go to the next one. It's another actual Colin Rugg video. That was a Colin Rugg tweet. Here's a Colin Rugg video. New CNN pay. Oh, no, I'm on the wrong one. Where am I at, Will? Where am I at?
The TikTok.
I'm way behind. I'm way behind. Lives with TikTok video. There we are. Lives with TikTok video. It's Aaron's fault. He's the producer.
Not bad.
But anyway, lives with TikTok video. Kamala steps out. So she hears this. So here's the deal. And by the way, remember that video?
Here's the deal.
Dana Carvey imitating Joe Biden. And here's the deal. And by the way, but here's Kamala Harris. So she comes out. Now, remember, the New Yorker had already written about this over, so it's August, September, October. So 2 years and 2 months ago, the New Yorker's already covered this whole thing. And here she comes out actually giving a press conference. But here's the problem. Once again, I just thought about this on my way into the podcast room, thinking about this particular video. So she goes out and gives a press conference about Donald Trump saying that he wanted German-style generals, right? She's coming out to give a press conference about something that happened 2 years and 2 months ago, acting as if it's a new story. And then she walks away as people try to ask her questions. And the people that are trying to ask her questions are all almost, with the exception of someone like Peter Ducey, are all almost all of them are leftists. One of them being the Washington Post, whose moniker is "Democracy Dies in the Darkness." That's their statement. You know, that's their motto. Democracy dies in the darkness. So all of these journalists, quote unquote journalists, they aren't even allowed to ask questions from the person that they say is a defender of democracy. They aren't even allowed to ask them questions. They go home thinking that they're voting for a person who will defend democracy, who walks away and ignores their questions. How do you live with yourself as a leftist journalist when you're saying Donald Trump, who always answers your questions, is the antithesis of democracy, and the example of democracy will not answer your questions? Do you not see that there might be a problem for you in the future to even have a job if these people are in power? But again, I digress. But it lives a TikTok video. Kamala steps out to spread hoaxes and lies about Trump, this reeks of desperation. Here she is on the whole John Kelly thing. Play for me.
Donald Trump's former chief of staff, John Kelly, a retired four-star general, confirmed that while Donald Trump was president, he said he wanted generals like Adolf Hitler had. Donald Trump said that because he does not want a military that is loyal to the United States Constitution. He wants a military that is loyal to him. He wants a military who will be loyal to him personally, one that will obey his orders even when he tells them to break the law or abandon their oath to the Constitution of the United States. In just the past week, Donald Trump has repeatedly called his fellow Americans the enemy from within, and even said that he would use the United States military to go after American citizens. And let's be clear about who he considers to be the enemy from within. Anyone who...
And The Atlantic goes on to cites they claimed that they heard Trump say, quote, "I need the kind of generals that Hitler had, people who were totally loyal to him that follow orders," and reporting that Trump complained about picking up the tab for a fallen U.S. soldier's funeral.
And here's the headlines from The Atlantic. Trump: "I need the kind of generals that Hitler had." And here's what the sister said about this story. "Wow, I don't appreciate how you all are exploiting my sister's death. President Donald Trump did nothing but show respect to my family and Vanessa."
Donald Trump refused to visit a cemetery, U.S. cemetery outside of Paris, for fallen American soldiers. And he referred to those heroes, and I quote, as suckers and losers.
And yet, despite indisputable evidence, The Atlantic has not issued a correction or updated their article.
"We had 25 people that were witnesses that are on the record already that have said that never took place."
Here's President Trump in 2018 visiting graves in France at the American Cemetery of Surin.
"Just clap for that, you stupid bastard."
"Anyway, let's just go back to January 6th, and he will not send the National Guard. Some people died because of it."
"We have responsibility, Terry, the National Guard, and I take responsibility for not having them."
"He talked about locking people up because they disagree with him. President of the United States should be willing to be able to handle criticism without saying he'd lock people up for doing it."
"So I know this sounds bizarre. It sounds like I said this 5 years ago, you'd lock me up. We gotta lock him up."
"Mr. Trump valued the property based on the false premise that it was an unrestricted residential 18-acre. In fact, the valuations represent that these restrictions don't even exist.
Donald Trump's home here in Palm Beach is quickly earning the title Winter White House. Now, some say it's the most valuable parcel of land anywhere in Florida. Much of the 126-room estate is used by the members-only Mar-a-Lago Club.
Two, one.
And I just have to comment the last part about Mar-a-Lago right there. If you live in the state of Florida and you look at Mar-a-Lago and you know that it's on both the Atlantic and the Yeah, throw that up there. If you look at this pic, you can see the Atlantic side of it. We can't really see the intercoastal part of it. But the thing is, if you know Florida real estate and you actually are stupid enough to think that that's worth less than $18 million, it's worth $500 million. It's worth a crap ton of money. It's possibly the most expensive piece of real estate in the state of Florida. Not only that, but it's like, I'm trying to remember the exact amount of acres that it is. It's a huge amount of acres. There's a golf course on it. But I mean, the piece of real estate that's like a 30th of its size right next door sold for $20 million. And this idiot, Letitia James, says it's worth $18 million. This was the precipice of her entire, look at that. That's worth $18 million. Folks, believe me. There is real estate that's within 15, 20 minutes on the beach in Inglewood that's worth $18
million. Yeah.
That's a fact, right, Aaron? I mean, there are on Minnesota Beach Road that's worth $18 million.
This is 17 acres.
17 acres. The piece next door, which was like half the size, sold for $20
million. Yeah.
And that's without Mar-a-Lago sitting on it. Give me a break. I mean, it's just unbelievable. I mean, I could go on and on and on about that stuff, but just a couple of things off that video. Kind of was a good summation of everything. Do you hear when Joe Biden, I'm gonna miss Joe. Because man, he is just great. He is absolutely great podcast material. Really is. I'm gonna miss him. Kamala, you know, she gives enough, she does a lot too. But anyway, not quite as good as Joe. But anyway, so remember when he's sitting there talking about the sucker, the loser stories, he goes, and Donald Trump referred to those cereals. That's what he said. He's trying to say soldiers. He says, and he referred to those cereals as suckers and losers. Remember, he always gets on, suckers and losers. He said cereals. Refer to those cereals. And then he calls soldiers stupid bastards. And they can say whatever they want. We all see the video. He called them stupid bastards. He called our military men stupid bastards to their face. Find me one video where Donald Trump said anything close to that. Well, we're going to skip the next one. And then we're going to skip the next one after that. And we're going to go to Mario Knoffel tweet. Because that's enough on that story. I got more on the John Kelly stuff, but I think everybody's had enough. And I got to be done here in the next 10 minutes. There we go. All right, so let me go to this. Now, I'm leading off. You're like, Tom, you covered this last night. No, more came out today. So let me set it up from last night. Breaking major security breach. Mario Knoffel tweet. Make sure I give credit where credit is due. Pentagon senior staffer leaks. Now, this is new. Leaks. She had already been linked to being very pro-Iranian, which we'll get to in a minute, but this is new. Now she's been found to possibly, allegedly have leaked Israel's Iran strike plans, as well as, I cut the bottom part off the tweet to make it fit on the podcast. She also leaked strategic military information about Israel itself. A senior Pentagon staffer, Arion Tabatabai, has allegedly been identified as the leaker of highly classified documents. Hey, Will, is that a crime?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a crime. Okay, I mean, that's a former military man. Highly classified documents. Who'd she leak them to? Iran. I think that's kind of a problem. Would that be treasonous when you're leaking highly classified? Now, you're like, well, this is about Israel. They're American military documents, though, that she's leaking to Iran, the number one state sponsor of terror. Iran has killed more Marines than Vladimir Putin has ever thought of in his life. You can't even confirm that Vladimir Putin has ever killed a Marine. Iran, through Hamas and Hezbollah, has killed thousands of American military soldiers via improvised explosive devices and numerous other things. And she's leaking highly classified Israeli military documents to Iran. I'll bet you right now she's just on administrative leave. Anybody want to vote on that?
Yeah.
identified, she's been identified as the leaker of highly classified documents detailing Israel's military preparations to strike Iran. The FBI is investigating this major breach, don't worry, the FBI is on it, which has sent shockwaves through Washington and raised concerns about U.S. Intelligence security. So go to the next one for me, Will. Here's a picture of Ariane Tabatabai. There she is. We couldn't guess. Of course, she's a mask wearer. And there's a Joni Ernst subtweet here, Biden's DOD. This was the original story about her from 2 years ago, from 2022. Biden's DOD is refusing to revoke the security clearance of an Iranian spy working at the Pentagon. Even Joni Ernst, and you're talking about risking defamation by calling somebody a spy. Joni Ernst, Senator Joni Ernst, calls her an Iranian spy because she is. More of POTUS's appeasement strategy that has emboldened the IRGC and its proxies, like Hamas, that's Iran, IRGC is Iran, its proxies like Hamas, and threatened our national security. It will continue holding the administration accountable. This is from 2 years ago when she was caught being very, I don't remember the specific, I have it more here in a second, but she's being caught being very suspiciously pro-Iran at the time, advocating for Iran. She was caught then, and they refused to revoke her security clearance 2 years ago. Now, here we are 2 years later, and they leave her there after being very suspiciously acting on Iran's interests. And Joe Biden refused to revoke her security clearance then, and now her security clearance has allowed her to leak highly classified Israeli military information to the country that she's a spy for because Joe Biden left her in place with her security clearance. Unbelievable. All right, go to the next one. The one you found for me, Aaron, Laura Loomer. Tweet is where we should be right now. Is that what are we all screwed up here, guys? Are we good? We're good? Yep. All right, here we go. Must read letter sent by the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee and ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Here it is. This is the Laura Loomer article that I'm reading to you. Actually, this is the letter. It is believed that Robert Malley, Iran's special envoy under Joe Biden, and stole Robert Malley. Get this now. This was a letter, again, letter written by the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, that's the Republicans, and the ranking member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee sent this letter to Antony Blinken, at Antony Blinken. It is believed that Robert Malley, at Joe Biden's special envoy, stole and shared top secret documents with Iranian intelligence. Robert Malley transferred over a dozen classified documents. Who's Robert Malley? That would be Ariane Tabatabai's boss. Yeah, Antony Blinken's school boy chum. They were schoolmates together, Antony Blinken. Robert Malley, who is Joe Biden's Iran special envoy. Only problem is Robert Malley transferred over a dozen classified documents to his personal devices and personal email system. These documents included detailed minutes and notes from his meetings with Iranian officials and the U.S. government's strategy and response to the political protests that erupted in Iran in the fall of 2022. Despite the claim that Iran hacked into Malley's personal devices, the cyber intelligence evidence suggests that Malley could be an Iranian agent and that he deliberately placed the classified content there and informed the Iranian handlers about his actions. Several of these classified documents and diplomatic strategies appeared in Iranian state media. So what Malley had exclusive access to, that he downloaded strangely to his devices, that the Iranians then hacked into, according to him, these materials, these documents, and diplomatic strategies ended up in Iranian state media. As if Malley purposely put them on his devices for Iranians to hack into. Doesn't that sound very familiar to you? Like the Clinton device found in the bathroom in Colorado that the Russians hacked into? Remember that? But they appeared in Iranian state media during the spring and summer of 2023. It's not long ago. It's last year. Malley lied to the FBI about downloading the sensitive and classified documents and storing it on his unsecured device. and private emails. Get me, everyone needs to make sure you understand this. Robert Malley transferred over a dozen classified documents to his personal devices. That's against the law. Remember, that's with James Comey. He's talking about Hillary Clinton doing the exact same thing with her 30,000 deleted emails off of her personal devices. Remember when he was asked when, before Trey Gowdy was neutered, remember before he got his nuts clipped off? He actually asked real questions to James Comey. Did she actually delete all of her did she actually delete any classified the exact question was, did she delete anything but her personal emails? Absolutely, hundreds of them. She actually deleted 30,000 subpoenaed emails. This sounds like very similar here. Off of her personal devices. That it's a crime to even have them on your personal devices. Why is this now? This, we found all this out over a year ago. Why is Malley not on criminal charges? Donald Trump's under criminal charges for being in possession of documents, insurrection, interfering in an election, civil rape charge, civil real estate fraud charge, criminal campaign finance charges. But Robert Malley transferred classified documents to his personal devices that ended up in state-sponsored Iranian media. After they hacked into his personal devices, that the documents are not allowed to be on by law. Amazing, isn't it? Miranda Devine tweet. There we go. This is so bad. Should not be surprising, judging from the Harris-Biden administration's disastrous decision to reinstate the Iran nuclear deal and scandal around suspended. He's been suspended. That's it. That's the last I heard of it. Mm. Nothing since. No prosecutions. Weird. Weird, no prosecutor. I got to keep Ariane Tabatabai's name, or I'll forget it. Decision to reinstate the Iran nuclear deal and the scandal around suspended Iran envoy Robert Malley and Antony Blinken's childhood friend from his Paris days. U.S. officials, Jerry Dunleavy, are extremely concerned about the potentially major security breach after two alleged U.S. intel documents about Iran's preparations. This is from 3 days ago. For an attack on Iran published by a Telegram account. So his employee is the one who released these highly classified Israeli military documents to Iran. And Robert Malley transferred over a dozen documents to his personal devices and personal email system. These documents included detailed minutes and notes from his meetings with Iranian officials and U.S. government strategies in response to political protests that erupted in Iran. And that all ended up in Iranian hands. So him and his employee are funneling information to Iran, who is the number one state sponsor of terror and a geopolitical enemy of the United States of America. That's treason. I'm not one that likes to throw treason around a lot. That's treason. Go to the next one for me, Will. RNC research video. Reminder, Biden-Iran envoy Robert Malley is under investigation for mishandling classified documents. So he was suspended last year. This is what Blinken said about him after he was suspended. Play it for me.
And speaking of Iran, the special envoy, Rob Malley, has had his security clearance suspended. He's being investigated by the FBI and diplomatic security for mishandling classified documents. Is this a huge setback in any hopes of getting back on track?
Well, first of all, this is a personnel matter. There's only so much I can say about a personnel matter. What I can say is I've known Rob Malley for many, many years, and he's someone who's dedicated his life, his career, to serving our country, and he's done so admirably.
Will was making me laugh right during this thing because he has to count off when we're done on these things, and he's ranting. Will is ranting about if he took something out of a skiff. What's skiff stand for? Secured.
Sensitive compartmented information.
Sensitive compartmented information. So there you go.
Facility, yeah.
Facility. So SCIF is secure. It's SCIF?
Yeah.
So what's the S stand for?
It's sensitive.
Sensitive compartmented information facility.
Yes, sir.
Got it. So there you go. Go. You got something there?
Nope.
Oh, no. You
nope.
Just put them on. Yep. Okay, there you go. Good job producing. But anyway.
Trying, you know.
So Will's like, random. If I took something out, I'd be done. And Aaron's kind of mocking him a little bit. No, you know what? He had it on his device. He was hacked.
I got hacked.
He was hacked. Yeah. And then Will fires back.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to have it on his device to begin with. Yeah, that's a crime in and of itself.
Yeah.
It's like all of Biden's stuff that was found that he cannot be in legal possession of at all. Trump has an argument, and it's, of course, been thrown out by the only good judge in all these Trump cases, Eileen Cannon, down in West Palm Beach, Florida. But his documents case, Trump is in legal possession of them outright. But just in a legal sense, he has the absolute perfect legal argument that everything that he had is covered under the Presidential Records Act. What is Biden's covered under? This 1,800 boxes full of highly classified compartmented information. What statute covers him? Nothing. He had all those. He gathered all of those documents while he was a senator and vice president. He has no legal means to be in possession of any of those 1,800 boxes full of highly classified documents. But yet he's not being prosecuted either. Because the special counsel said that he was not mentally able to be prosecuted, but yet he was still president and was running for re-election until they finally took him down. All right, May's video in August 2023, Trump warns of the danger of Biden's ransom payment to Iran. Play for me.
Crooked Joe Biden just agreed to pay a $6 billion ransom to the Iranian dictatorship in exchange for hostages. This is yet another Biden surrender and a further blistering humiliation of the United States of America to the world stage. But even worse, this decision will be extremely deadly. Biden is giving $6 billion to the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism. Just as when Obama sent the Iranian regime pallets of cash for hostages in the dark of night, remember, plane loads of cash, Biden's ransom payment will be immediately used to stoke violence, bloodshed, and mayhem throughout the Middle East and all around the world, costing countless innocent lives, putting Israel, the United States, and the entire world in very grave peril.
One.
Yeah, see, they just buddied up to Iran. Now it's up to $60 billion that they've released into Iran. It's weird. It's as if they root for Iran over Israel. Remember, they actually, Joe Biden sent Hamas $100 million right after Hamas raided on 10-7 of 2023, raided Israel. Remember that? He actually gave them $100 million. Everybody remember that? That's exactly what's happened. The people who actually funded that raid are the people who are funded by the Biden administration through that $60 billion that they've released into Iran that funds Hezbollah and Hamas. All right, more on this. Kanakoa the Great video. New Kash Patel highlights the unbelievable connections between the three senior Biden intelligence officials, Robert Malley, and this is from a year ago, Arian Tabatabai, and Mahar Bitar, and their associations with Hamas and Iran. Here he is talking to Steve Bannon, who's currently in federal prison as the only misdemeanor conviction in federal prison. The only man convicted of a misdemeanor in federal prison is Steve Bannon. And he was put in that prison by the administration that claims that Donald Trump is going to weaponize the DOJ, the same administration that raided Mar-a-Lago. Just a side note. So here's Kash Patel highlighting the unbelievable connections. Play for me.
Taxpayers. Now we're spread out all over Hell's Half Acre. Go ahead, brother. Tell me about the Persian infiltration of our government.
Yeah, I know you're sitting down, but you're probably going to need a couch after this one. Look, I laid it out in my op-ed last week. The groundwork about the intentional intelligence failures of the Biden regime has led to this World War IV. And I promised the War Room posse I'd come back. I'm just finishing the op-ed right now that lays out what I'm going to tell you right now. First ever heard preview. The intelligence decisions by the Biden administration reprioritizing away from the southern border, away from terrorists, away from Iran, away from China. Do you know who they're being made by? There's one individual in the White House National Security Shop, head of intelligence programs. His name is Mahar Bitar. Mahar Bitar. Yes, remember that name. He is solely responsible for prioritizing what collection efforts on intelligence are tier 1, 2, 3, and 4 for President Biden. Why is this guy's name important? Well, one, he used to work for Samantha Powers, but let's put that aside in the United Nations. Two, we just found a photo of Mahar Bitar recently wearing Palestinian garb, raising a hand behind a picture that said, "We want Jewish apartheid." This is the guy in charge of intelligence operations for the United States of America. That's step one. Step two, Robert Malley, Biden's number one envoy, the guy that's supposed to be keeping us out of war in Iran, had his clearance, security clearance, suspended by Chris Wray's FBI, of all people, just 2 months ago. You got to ask why. They won't publicly release it. Well, let me tell you why. Because a individual named Arian Tabatabai, who, by the way, is currently running our special operations office at the Department of Defense, was installed there by Robert Malley. Yes, the former presidential envoy to Iran installed this Iranian national to that position in DOD. And do you know what she did in 2014? She emailed the prime minister's office in Iran, the foreign minister, Javad Zarif, and asked for permission as a U.S. citizen to take a trip on behalf of the U.S. government. This individual is still employed at the Department of Defense as the Assistant Chief of Staff for the Special Operations Office. The Iranian regime has infiltrated the Biden administration. We have to find out why Robert Malley got booted. We know this has to do with this lady in part. But do you think Chris Wray's FBI would suspend his security clearance and remove him from his post if it wasn't something totally cataclysmic? This is what I'm talking about. We have to put intel in its place. And these people have been installed by our enemies to distract away from protecting against American priorities on the border and taking out the CCP in Iran. And now they're in the house.
Hang on. Go through all three again and the positions they're in. These are not random grundoons, right? No. You go in these meetings, they got 50 people. These are players. Give me the billet and the person and a problem with them, Cash.
Meher Bitar, the head of intel programs in the National Security Council. He sits in the White House and is responsible for all of intelligence collection priorities in the United States of America. This guy is the one who we now have, and I've posted on Truth Social a photo being pro-Palestinian and standing in front of a picture that supports the apartheid of the Jews in Israel. Oh, I forgot to tell you this about him, Bannon. Meher Bitar was general counsel to Adam Schiff when I was doing the Russiagate investigation. This dude authored the Schiff memo. And then Robert Malley, Biden's presidential envoy to Iran, suspended by the FBI because of a security clearance issue, has now been taken off the case. And Ariana Tabatai is the assistant chief of staff to the Department of Defense's Special Operations Office. She is the one directly communicating with the Iranian Foreign Ministry.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, those three.
That's it.
Cash. How many times do you have senior level personnel directly from the president that have a security clearance pulled? How often does that happen?
Well, it happens to us, but never by Chris Wray to a Biden administration official. So you got to ask the question, what the heck are you doing? And why isn't House Intel all over this investigation? Why haven't they subpoenaed Wray and been like, wait a second, you got to tell us why this guy, who's the number one Iranian diplomat for the United States of America, has been suspended. It's like the story just disappeared. And how is his emissary still employed at the Department of Defense and communicating with Iranian officials?
Cash, can you hang on for one second?
All right, I really got to hustle because I told these guys I'd be done at 10:20. It's not going to happen. Aaron shifted into his Trump voice, and he called me lying. Go do it, Aaron.
Lying Tom Lipley. Don't believe a word. It's all lies.
There it is. I thought I was going to be done at 10:20. It didn't happen. I said I was going to be done at 10:20, and Will goes, the video's 4 minutes long, so I knew I was done. So anyway, just some highlights off of this. On June 29, 2023, Robert Malley, Ariane Tabatabai's co-worker or boss, was placed on unpaid leave for his role in Joe Biden's from his role as Joe Biden's special envoy to Iran, and his security clearance was suspended. I bet she still has it due to an ongoing, Anthony Blinken's childhood friend, ongoing investigation is potential mishandling of classified materials. Even Christopher Wray looks into this guy, and Christopher Wray, it has to be so bad. Here's the thing. Christopher Wray has no problem with what he's doing. He has a problem with how he did it, because it's exposing the people like Christopher Wray. That's the only reason why he's investigating him. That's how the world works. On September 29, 2023, Semaphore reported that Malley was involved in funding, supporting, and directing an Iranian intelligence operation to influence the United States and allied governments, as revealed by a collection of Iranian government emails. Malley was involved in funding, supporting, this is in September 29th of 2023, and directing Iranian intelligence operation to influence the United States and allied governments, and revealed by a collection of Iranian government emails. These emails suggested that Malley facilitated the placement of an Iranian agent of influence named Ariane Tabatabai, who just got caught releasing highly classified military documents to Iran. Let me read that again. These emails suggest that Malley facilitated the placement of an Iranian agent of influence named Ariane Tabatabai into sensitive positions within the U.S. government, initially at the State Department under Antony Blinken, and later, let's amp it up another notch, to the freaking Pentagon, where she has been serving as chief of staff for the Assistant Secretary of freaking Defense for Special Operations.
Beautiful.
I don't know what to say anymore. I mean, honestly, what can you possibly say? It's just like J13, the Trump assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania. It was so obvious. It could not be incompetence. It was such an obvious insider attempt on his life because the incompetence cannot be measured. It's to galactic reaches never seen before. Same thing here. Malley facilitated the placement of an Iranian agent of influence named Arian Tabatabai into the freaking State Department and Pentagon. Anthony Blinken, Secretary of State over the State Department, didn't know this. And into the Pentagon, White Rage, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs, Mark Milley, didn't know this. And then not only does she get into the Pentagon, she serves as the Chief of Staff for the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Special Ops. Holy moly, you have an Iranian agent who people knew was an Iranian agent working in Special Ops at the Pentagon. And they knew it. Blinken knew it. Biden knew it. It's so obvious, and it got out. That's why Christopher Wray had to take action and actually investigate and have this guy's special, his classified, what's it called? I just lost it.
Clearance.
Clearance. What do you call it, though?
Secret clearance.
Yeah. Top secret clearance. There it goes. Top secret clearance revoked. It's right here. Never mind. We'll find it later. But anyway, on October 16, 2023, Revolver News reported that Maurer Batar, who is a senior director for the intelligence programs at Joe Biden's National Security Council, was also an executive director of the Students for Justice in Palestine group that reportedly responded to the recent Hamas terror attack on Israel by organizing a day of resistance in support of Hamas' historic win against Israel. Batar was photographed wearing a black and white, what do you call those things? Kayakef, something, whatever. A symbol of Palestinian nationalism standing in front of a sign that reads, divest from Israel apartheid. Kash Patel has pointed out that Maher Batar plays a significant role in determining intelligence prioritization for President Biden. So the guy photographed wearing Palestinian garb, a symbol of Palestinian nationalism, and standing in front of a sign that reads divest from Israel apartheid, who Revolver News reported that Batar, who is a senior director for intelligence programs on Biden's National Security Council, was also an executive director for the Students of Justice in Palestine. This is who's running our military, just so everybody knows. Kash Patel has pointed out that Maher Batar plays a significant role in determining intelligence prioritization for President Biden, even though there is a photo of him wearing Palestinian attire, calling for the economic and political boycott of Israel. Robert Malley, who recently held a security clearance for suspended by the FBI, installed Arian Tabatabai at the Department of Defense as the Assistant Chief of Staff for the Special Operations Office. Do you know what she did in 2014? She emailed Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif and asked for permission from him as a United States citizen to take a trip on behalf of the United States government. This individual is still employed at the DOD. Now, that was an older article. Well, I don't know what her status is. She just got caught. She just got caught releasing top secret Israel documents that are American military documents to Iran. Look at this next one. Laura Logan tweet. Oh, I said 10:25. It's 10:26. Crap. All right, look at this. These are just readers. Bombshell, Iranian hackers broke into. So we have all of this. Now let's get into our elections in Iran, shall we? Let's do that. This broke today. Bombshell from Laura Logan. Iranian hackers broke into the state's voter, into many states, voter roll databases. So you have the Biden administration installing Iranian spies at the State Department and in our military and as the special envoy for Iran, to Iran is actually Robert Malley, who was Robert Malley. who, of course, downloaded classified documents on his phone that were hacked then by the Iranians and then were posted on Iranian state media. That's the Biden administration. And you have Ariane Tabatabai working at the special, working as an assistant director in the special ops section of the Pentagon. And now you have Iranian hackers breaking into states' voter roll databases, database use names, social security numbers, driver's license numbers to fill out UACAVA registrations. And by the way, that's uniformed overseas. This sounds like military, doesn't it, Will?
Mm-hmm.
Ready? UACAVA. Remember, we have Ariane. You're like, Tom, you're being redundant. I know. I'm just letting you know. Remember, we have Ariane Tabatabai working in the special ops unit at the Pentagon. And now you have Iranian hackers using driver's license, social security numbers to fill out UOCA. You would just call it UOCAVA registrations. UOCAVA stands for Uniformed and Overseas Citizens Absentee Voting Act. So you have insiders, Iranian spies inside of the Pentagon, and now you have their hackers hacking into our voter roll system and registering as military men and women to vote. And Brad Raffensperger, Mark Elias, even though he claims to be a conservative Republican, but Mark Elias' ally just said that 25% of Georgia's voter rolls are under the UOCAVA.
Oh.
That's weird, isn't it? I mean, remember the guy who refused to actually do a forensic audit of his own election where he had 66,000 fraudulent ballots cast in the 2020 election? But Brad Raffensperger certified it and has caused the Fannie Willis trial to take place. The Fannie Willis false persecution via prosecution of Donald Trump. Remember her and Nathan Wade? Nathan Wade, by the way, just testified in front of Congress that he did, in fact, meet with Biden attorneys and White House attorneys. Jeez. After he was found. Remember, he disappeared for a while. Registration shared video of their actions online. This comes from the Gateway Pundit by Patty McMurray. So a little bit more on this. The Uniformed and Overseas Citizen Absentee Voting Act is commonly referred to as UOCAVA. UOCAVA citizens are U.S. citizens who are active members of the military, the Merchant Marine, the Commissioned Corps of the Public Health Service, and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. They're eligible family members and uniformed citizen, United States citizens residing outside the United States. Now you have Iranians registering as UOCAVA citizens. And we have Iranian spies inside the Pentagon. That's kind of weird, isn't it? Adam Hughes writes this. I don't think I gave you guys this one. Yeah, this is a different one. But instead, keep that one right here because it's right before that. Here's another, some more information. No, you can still side by side it, Will. It's fine. Or Aaron. The non-military overseas ballot loopholes is from @Amuse on Twitter. Loopholes, the non-military overseas ballot loopholes in are so big you can drive a truck through them. Here in Texas, you don't need an ID or proof of citizenship to vote via UOCAVA ballot. Look at this. They have increased. Oh, you found it, Aaron. Did you find it? There you go. There's the look at the increase in their use from 2016 to 2020. 100% increase in UOCAVA balloting in Texas. 2,000% increase in Iowa. And we just caught the Iranians hacking into our voter roll systems to vote via UOCAVA. My nose is itching so bad. All right, let me finish with this one. That last one. There you go. Election interference. Remember this. The Kamala Harris campaign has been receiving material support from Iran. The Islamic Republic has been providing the Harris campaign hacked information from the Trump campaign. By the way, they admitted to it. The FBI, ODNI, and CISA have known about it since June and July of this year and failed to alert the Trump campaign. The Harris campaign kept the support secret as well. FBI covered up fact Iran provided Harris campaign hacked Trump documents. So while Harris and Biden are staffing the Pentagon with Iran officials, they're also now receiving campaign material about Donald Trump from Iranian officials. Kind of weird, isn't it? All right, went way long tonight, 10:32. For those of you, somebody had 10:40. Rumble Rants, Texas Billy, $50. Nitsua, $99. $20. Deanna Jones, $10. Tammy L. Margrader, $10. Snarl Barkley, $1. $1. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Sorry I went so long. Just had to get all that out. I don't know why. I think it's because Will was making fun of me because I only was done with five slides at about an hour and 10 minutes. So anyway, love you guys. Stick around in the post game. I'll be in the chat during the post game. Stick around for it. It's great as always. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. See you tomorrow night, 9 o'clock. God bless you.
What if it's a new thing if I tell you that you are supposed to prosper, that you are supposed to be wealthy? That's Psalm chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. The word just told you that new thing. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Is that a new thing for you? That you need to receive it. Well, I believe that poverty is an attribute. No, Jesus became poor. And then they quote Jesus saying, he doesn't have a place to lay his head. He became poor for you, not for you to emulate the poorness. That would be like you emulating sin. He became sin, so now you sin. He became poor, so now you're poor.
Thank you for watching the Tom Lipley podcast. We appreciate your support. As a special thank you, when you donate $25 or more, you'll receive a free TLP mug. Sip your favorite beverage while enjoying all the insights from our episodes. Your support helps us keep bringing you current events from around the globe. Donate now to claim your mug.